From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
And now I am here with Daniel Thomas. He is the owner of Dynamic Training. And this is an incredible opportunity for me because you are helping so many people with dynamic training, and it's people that are really close to me. So I want to get to know you better, Daniel, but also I want to have our audience know about this business because it's really cool. So maybe just a little of your background and what the business is all about.
Yeah, so the business Dynamic Training, we specialize in speed and agility training. So we work with, my dad calls it peewees to the pros. So we've got the juniors, which are like 5 to 8 year olds, all the way to our youth classes, high school and college. But everything we specialize in is how can we make our athletes the fastest, most explosive that they can be. So most strength and conditioning programs traditionally are about 75% weight room strength. Whether they're doing barbell movements, but they're really focused on power and strength. And then they spend a very little, like 25% on speed mechanics and conditioning. We kind of flipped. So we're the opposite. So we're about 75, 80% speed, agility, quickness, conditioning, and then 25% on the strength and the power side. So that's kind of what separates
us. Yeah. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that as we get going. Cause I kind of have I used to coach football and baseball and different sports, and I sort of have a fascination for young athletes and how to help them develop and, you know, and become who they want to be. Because don't you think that young athletes have these, a lot of them have these big dreams. They want to become professional. You know, we turn on the TV and we want to be, you know, Michael Jordan or whomever. And, you know, so how do you get there, right? It takes a lot of work.
100%, it does. And so one of our big slogans that we have plastered all over our gym is that greatness is inside of you, but it's your job to train it to come out. So we believe that every athlete has something special inside of them, but we try to remind them that the bigger your dream is, the more you have to put in the work and the more you have to be willing to sacrifice and to really dive in, and it'd be 100% sold out. So,
yeah. You know, it's amazing. I was just on a conversation with somebody a few minutes ago. Is a lot of times that big dream aspect of our personality, it gets beat out of us, right? So as a young person, hey, the sky's the limit. I can build anything. I can, you know, be a billionaire. I'll be Michael, like Michael Jordan or something. And then all of a sudden society starts encroaching, and we get in line, we do our job, we show up, and it's like, oh my gosh, where'd my big dreams go? So you're still working with people with these enormous dreams, which I love. I do that as well, helping entrepreneurs that are going out and trying to change the world through building businesses. So I love that you are helping these young people keep dreaming, and some of them actually achieve a lot of those dreams. Maybe give me a sense as to like what happens when they walk through the door, and maybe a couple of success stories of people who have, you know, really become something.
Yeah, for sure. And our number one job is never like, we don't walk in and sell anybody, hey, we're going to get you the pros. But our job is, hey, if you love something and you're passionate, how can we get you to be able to play at the next level in college? That's our goal. Our goal is to get kids
get to college,
100%.
Right?
So, yeah. You know, and yes, there's the benefit is huge for, you know, as far as getting a college education, but just the dream to be able to have these kids play at the next level, because the percentage and the amount of people playing in college is so small. In this community, we have so many great athletes, and sports is huge in this area. So I think everyone just assumes that you get to go play in college, but that's really not how it is.
Very few, you know, it's interesting too, because college athletes, there's very few, obviously, but people who make it to college and go through and play sports in college, they end up with an understanding of life that I think a lot of us don't have. You played sports in college?
I did, yes.
Yeah, so you have an understanding that I don't have about the kind of dedication and commitment and, you know, all the different things that it takes to get to that level and finish through that level. Because I mean, it's pretty easy to, I got out of high school, I dropped out, or, you know, not dropped out, got to get a job, or, you know, maybe something else. But, and a lot of people don't even finish high school sports. So that commitment is these people make great leaders in business. That's my sense is, if I can hire people who have played college sports, wow, that's a find.
Yeah, you know, because people don't realize the amount of grind that there is just to play, not even to be successful at the college level, but just to be a part of a team at a college level. You know, I remember getting a hard time from people because they would say, oh, well, those darn football players, I played football in college. Okay. Those darn football players are always falling asleep, you know, in that 10 a.m. class. But, you know, our regiment was we would wake up at 5 a.m. If you were injured, you had to be in doing rehab before 5 a.m. So we're talking 4 a.m. wake up times to do some rehab or prehab on injuries. You're practicing at 6 a.m. You're done by 7:30. You go to the weight room straight from practice. Now you're lifting from 8 to 9:30. Then you're showering and we're getting to class at 10 a.m. And now I have international to business law at 10 a.m. A class that, no offense, maybe a little bit of a snooze fest, right? So, you know, you're up at 4 a.m., you're practicing, you're running miles,
right?
Your sprinting.
Body is
you're so
getting
fatigued.
A lot of use, yeah.
And then you're sitting in class and everyone goes, look at those darn lazy football players, and they're all, trying to stay awake. Yeah. And so people don't realize if you're not in the nitty gritty of actually being a collegiate athlete, you know, to be able to go through all of that and then still go to school and then show up after school and then go to film and then have walkthroughs. And then guess what? You actually want to get good grades. Now you have to do your homework, you know? And so it's like the actual amount of dedication to get good grades as a student athlete is huge. And I think it really sets people apart in today's generation for success after sports, like you were talking about.
It takes so much commitment and dedication and stick-to-itiveness that a lot of people just are never exposed to, right? They, for whatever reason, they didn't take that path. And that's why I love sports, is because within sports, you can start that at 8 years old and begin to build the big dreams and understand what hard work is all about. So I come in your program. So I have two grandchildren, at least, that are in the program. I think I got maybe a couple more. But Riley and Rocco, who we talked about earlier, I know go to your program, and they rave about it. Riley's now 12 and she plays volleyball, and Rocco's more of a baseball guy, but they play a variety of sports, and they love it. They have fun, but yet they're seeing their athleticism change right before I'm seeing it before their very eyes, right? They're not necessarily the people that are jumping out of the gym in terms of natural athleticism, but they're a little more springy than they used to before they started coming to you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, the reality of it is that we're trying to teach kids that if you work hard, you compete, and you enjoy what you're doing, that you're going to go far and that you can have success. In the coaching world today, sadly, there's so many more negative connotations with coaches than positive, right? And so we're trying to create an environment and a place where kids come in, they get their butts worked, but they leave smiling. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they know that these coaches, our coaches, really care about them and care about their success. And so I always tell our coaches, you know, before you ever correct anyone and give correction or criticism to an athlete, you need to make sure that you start with an encouragement. Because mm-hmm. because kids are so quick to shut down nowadays, especially if they don't know you. And so we really believe that, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So to build that relationship, to tell them that they're doing amazing and to keep pushing them in that positive direction and then following up. And now they're willing to receive the correction, receive the, you know, the proper techniques and critiques that you want to give them, because they know, hey, coach actually cares about me. So I'm going to take this into consideration.
I was doing, so Riley's become a pretty darn good volleyball player, but my grandson Rocco, who's not gifted in speed and athleticism, we were doing ladder drills the other day. I think I captured it on Instagram, and I'm like, he was keeping up with me. I used to be pretty, you know, I'm not good at that stuff, but I can do it. At CrossFit, we do a little bit of that stuff. And I was like, this guy can do ladder drills. He did that icky shuffle stuff. And I'm like, how the heck can you do that? He's, you know, because he's not a burner, right? But he's got good footwork. He's at the foundation for building some good footwork, and I think it'll really help him. Maybe walk me through a little bit about what the program is like, and then I want to talk about confidence as well, too. But maybe we'll just start with what the program is, and then, you know, because a great byproduct of achievement and progression is confidence.
100%. So my background before dynamic training, I actually worked in the recovery business. So I was a general manager of at US Cryotherapy over here in Roseville, Sierra College in Douglas.
Oh, you know what? That's probably where I've seen you before.
Okay.
I've been in there.
Yeah. So I worked there for like 6 or 7 years. Okay. And that was really my passion. And I constantly saw athletes coming in with injury after injury. So when developing and starting the program of dynamic training, I was like, okay, we need to make sure we do a little prehab. If we can, you know, jump the gun and prepare these athletes before they get injured, we're going to help reduce chances of injury, because young athletes are training so often and so frequently that now you have 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds with tendonitis and arthritis, which never used to be a thing, right? So our start to our every single session we have, we go through a banded warm-up, and then we do a full dynamic warm-up. It takes about 10 to 12 minutes to get through it before we even hit anything.
So a banded warm-up, describe that to me.
Yeah. So we mostly use mini bands.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of people, they put them around their ankles or right above their knees. Mm-hmm. So we put ours right above the ankles. We'll do lateral walks, forward and backwards walks, right, to really fire
hips are
up.
Burning.
Yep. The glutes, the hips, and then really just to help work and strengthen all the small muscles, the tendons, the ligaments, and joints throughout the knees, ankles.
Yeah.
So trying to fire up those little muscles that nobody really thinks about, because once we start, we're flying.
Okay.
We're all about do what we do. We do it at 100% effort. Then you recover. Because a lot of people think that when they want to get faster, when athletes are like, how can I get faster? They put themselves typically through conditioning. And we try to remind athletes that conditioning is not speed training, but speed training is conditioning. Because when you do anything with a high intensity, that heart rate's going to spike. It's going to elevate, right? Kind of like people hear people say HIIT training or high intensity training, right? It's kind of a similar concept, but focused more towards athletes.
So if I'm a young person maybe listening or a parent listening, I come in and the speed training, when I've done that in the past, your heart rate gets up, but then you get enough time to recover so that you can be at your very best at the next rep or your next opportunity. Is that right? So you're not
100%.
Maybe your heart rate's still up a little bit, but you can go 100% on the next rep.
Totally.
Instead of going hard for at 80% and just sort of surviving a 20-minute workout.
Yeah. And with our youth, our younger athletes, that 9 to 12-year-old range, they just want to go nonstop, right? Because that's what they've been taught. That's what they think they're supposed to do. And they're just going to try to keep pushing. So we actually have to step in as coaches and go, stop, breathe, take a second. Because I want you to give me 100%. If you're going to give me 80%, I want you to rest. Because I want you to come in and floor it and give me everything you got. Because that's the only way that we're going to maximize that top end
work
speed.
At your maximum more often versus working at 90% all the time.
100%. Yeah. Okay. 100%. Yeah. And there's studies that have been shown that athletes, when it comes to speed specifically, that if you don't sprint at 90%, of your max speed or higher within a 5 to 7 day window, you actually get diminishing returns. So that's how quickly you can lose top speed, is you have to be as an athlete sprinting and working at 90 to 100% maximum effort in order to keep that intensity in your pocket.
Okay, so you come in, you do your, we'll call it your band work, and then you're doing some speed drills,
for sure,
right? And those are super high intensity with enough rest to be at your best. Then what is that like? You break it up in like segments throughout it? Let's say, is it an hour? Two hours?
Yep. Okay. So they're hour long workouts. And so typically what happens is every workout's a little bit different, but every workout is going to have some variation of a footwork exercise where we really emphasize kids being able to control their feet. Because a lot of times people do footwork and they go as fast as humanly possible. But if you're not controlling what you're doing, your feet are just frantic. I tell people fast feet that are out of control are just as bad as slow feet. Because if you're not actually going where you want to go, you're just wasting effort. You're wasting energy because you're not actually doing what you want to be doing. So we do a lot of footwork. We do a lot of plyometrics, which is different variations of jump training. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of resistance work, right? So trying to help with athletes who want to accelerate. Because most athletes, once they're running and moving, are pretty fast. But it's what really separates average to great athletes is how fast can they get to that speed, right? That acceleration portion. Yeah. So we do a lot of emphasis on acceleration. And then with our younger athletes, we do a lot of mechanical work, running mechanics, jumping mechanics, making sure that they actually know the proper form. Sometimes we got to slow down to learn so that we can speed up down the road.
And I think all of us need some mechanic reminders. You know, mechanical training doesn't hurt you no matter how long you've been an athlete. Clean up your form a little bit and you end up being just a little faster if you go through a few drills from what I've found. But thinking about that, so they don't get into the strength piece. You said 25% of it was strength. You're not going to have a 12-year-old doing bench press or squats?
Yeah, not in our group classes.
Okay.
So in our group classes, the strength portion is going to come from body weight movements. We do push sleds or prowlers. Mm-hmm. So they are going to get some lower body build from that.
Those are painful.
Through all of our different plyometric jump trainings, they're going to get lots of strength in their lower body from just jumping. We do from high jumps to broad jumps to quick jumps. We do all different types of variations there. And then the resistance training, right? If you've ever tried sprinting with someone holding you back or a version of a bungee or a resistance band, that's going to develop muscles and strength that a lot of people are not used to. So the younger athletes are getting strength training in different ways than our older athletes would be. So like our high school and college athletes, now we might actually break out some more into the weight room. But for the youth athletes, it's mostly going to be body weight, sleds, plyometric exercises and resistance training.
I've been on your Instagram and I've seen, you know, you post videos of young people working out, and I've seen this accelerate, change your direction, and then reaccelerate these drills. They look like eighth or ninth graders, something like that, but kids are damn quick. It's amazing. And then they're going through hopping drills and so on. It's pretty amazing the kind of things that I didn't do when I was a freshman in high school, but I see these kids that look like they're probably 14 years old doing.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes us as trainers, we have to force athletes to do things that aren't fun, that are a little more boring, which is why you see so much decelerating of athletes actually coming to a stop. And because most injuries happen non-contact. So if you're playing soccer, if you play football, if you play any sport that's going to have you doing a lot of change of direction, most knee ankle injuries are non-contact, meaning an athlete's running, stops, plants to go somewhere else, and a knee goes out, an ankle goes out, rolls, breaks, snaps, tears. And so the reason for that is everyone trains acceleration. How can I go faster, go faster, go faster? But the faster you get, the harder it is to slow down and stop, right? So a lot of people forget to train the deceleration portion, which is actually the most important as far as knee health and injury prevention.
So one thing that you haven't mentioned yet, but I assume it's a piece of the program, is mobility and flexibility, those kind of things, being strong at the end range of motion. Is there an aspect that's kind of helping with, you know, so people can touch their toes? Because as athletes, you start building some muscles, and next thing you know, you can't even touch your toes.
For sure, yeah. For the younger athletes, we don't do nearly as much mobility and stretching work because they're so stinking limber. They can put both their legs behind their head and fall back, you know. Yeah. Kids go, "Coach, can I do this?" And I go, "Sure, but I can't because I won't get up if I do that stretch with you." For us, with the younger athletes, it's more about just emphasizing and building the importance of it.
Okay.
And letting them know, like you said, hey, as you guys get bigger, as you get older and stronger, your muscles are going to grow. They're going to become tight. And then we need to lengthen those muscles. Okay. So with the kids, it's more just about harping on it and educating, right? With the older athletes, we have to literally force them to do a period of time of stretching.
Because they won't do it. It's boring.
And I remember when I was in high school, someone's like, "Go stretch." Okay. You know, you do five seconds and you're like, "I'm good." Right. But it actually takes about 30 to 45 seconds in holding one particular stretch to let that muscle fully elongate and relax. So forcing athletes to stretch, especially our older high school and college athletes, is so important because more mobility means less injuries and means access to more of your body. And the more access you have, the more power you're going to have.
100%. I started yoga 2 or 3 years ago, and it's amazing. You know, I do CrossFit and I do yoga, and the flexibility, the strength that you have at the end range, right? A deep squat or some other position that some people can't even get into, you know, as a guy that's not a big guy, not even very strong, but can lift more than maybe somebody who's super strong because they can barely get into that range of motion.
For sure.
It's a huge advantage to have flexibility.
100%. And as athletes, the number one area that people don't focus on that actually makes the biggest difference is ankle mobility. Nobody thinks about that, but speed is all about angles. What angle can you have your shin in? Can you have your foot in to be able to project the direction that you want to project, whether that's laterally or straight? And if you have too tight of calves, too tight of Achilles, too tight of feet, you're not able to put yourself in the angle that you want to be in. And so athletes might actually have more speed in them, but they don't have the ability to even access it because of that lack of range of motion.
Have you ever seen that knees over toes guy?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that guy is pretty interesting. So anybody who hasn't seen him, I can't think of his name, but they call him the knees over toes guy because when I was a kid and you get taught to do squats, you're supposed to go down to as close to parallel, but keep your, you know, stay back. Don't let your knees go over your toes, right? That's bad. And if you're doing a front lunge, don't let your knees go over your toes. And, you know, but his theory, which I subscribe to, is be careful. But, and if you're not using any weight to start, if you can build that flexibility and that some amount of stabilization strength at the end range and then build, you're going to be able to, your hops are going to, you'll be able to jump a lot better.
For sure. And I 100% agree. I think as long as people understand that it's a process that you should start with body weight until you can progress and add load like he does. But if you look at any athlete that's in a squat position or an athlete that's about to jump, if you say, "Hey, I want you to jump as high as you can, try to touch the rim on a basketball hoop." If you look at the angle, their knees are forward, right? So nobody jumps with their butt hips going back and their knees completely straight up and down. Right. The angle of your legs, your knees are always pressed forward. So it's really interesting to think that as coaches, you're teaching kids to, don't let your knees go forward. Don't let your knees go forward. But then when they're in their sport and they have to run and jump, their knees are always forward. So we're actually setting them up for failure and to get injured because they're not strengthening the tendons and ligaments needed in the right angles.
Well, it's amazing. You know, people complain about social media and there's good and bad in it. But like when I was a kid, the way you got your data is you bought Sports Illustrated magazine and whatever that article happened to be, it got subscribed to. Next thing you know, the high school football coaches are teaching whatever somebody was talking about in Sports Illustrated magazine. And you didn't have access to these different sciences or these different points of view that are now pretty out there. So who do you, in terms of continuous learning, your continuing education, who do you look to, or where do you look for that data, that, you know, new info?
So for just straight linear speed, I love a guy named Les Spielman.
Okay.
I actually went to a conference recently in San Diego with about 90 other strength and conditioning coaches, and he was one of the guest speakers there. He, in my opinion, is the current most popular, best coach when it comes to teaching the mechanics of sprinting and straight. Now, he doesn't do a lot of change of direction. He does mostly like track work, but he works with athletes like soccer players and football players, prepping them for the NFL combine and things like that. So he's one of my favorite for straight linear speed. And then, you know, from there's so much information out there. It's tough for young athletes to really decipher what's for them and what's not. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think there's access, which is amazing. But at the same time, sometimes kids don't know what the right thing to look at is, like you were saying. Yeah. So a big problem or a big thing that I see personally with my high school athletes is they're all lifting and training like bodybuilders, because everybody on TikTok, Instagram, you know, YouTube is training like a bodybuilder. So for example, that means they're doing a lot of isolated movements, right? Lateral shoulder raises, things where they're really strict and moving one body part and isolating one muscle group. Well, as athletes, you never do that. Everything as an athlete is full body and you're being as explosive as possible. So it's not that it's bad, because it's going to make you look good. Your shoulders will get a little bit bigger and look nice. But if we want to be athletes, we have to be doing full body explosive movements that are going to generate power from the ground up. So if you're doing an upper body shoulder movement, it should start from the ground, right? So like, for example, a CrossFit term, right, would be like a thruster,
right?
Or a squat to press.
Right.
That would be a better shoulder exercise that I would want to get out of an athlete versus having them do a strict military shoulder press, because I'm looking for how can we generate power using our whole body.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. So I love diving into the, the different aspects of the sports. And so one other thing I was going to ask you about was, I always think about quick twitch, right?
Yeah.
So how do you develop those quick twitch muscles? So I recently started wearing these shoes. They are, the kind that I found them from the yoga teacher. He recommended them, but they're kind of like barefoot shoes, and I've been wearing them probably 4 or 5 months. And I went to Cabo the other day and was walking around, got sore muscles in my calves from walking around too much. I'm not a big walker, but I felt my feet strengthening over the last 3 or 4 months, and it's been working my feet in a way they haven't been worked as much when you've got like regular shoes on. It's a lot of different kinds of support. So you walk around in Cabo, and then yesterday I ran a mile and I felt myself sort of like bouncier. It almost reminded me of back when I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I always felt like I was a little faster if I was barefooted. It's like, interesting, you know, is there, okay. So in terms of developing quick twitch in your feet, how important is it to be barefooted or in certain kinds of shoes that are a little bit less supportive? And does that really matter? Is that a factor in anything you think about?
I think it does play a factor to a certain extent. The one reason why I don't overly emphasize athletes to train barefoot often is because they don't play their sport barefoot.
Okay.
So that's the number one reason why I don't push it aggressively. But I do like to emphasize the fact that strengthening your feet, ankles, and your Achilles is extremely important for athletes to be able to maximize their power, right? So for example, an athlete that likes to back squat all the time and can back squat, 500 pounds and has huge quads and hamstrings and glutes, if they don't ever focus on strengthening their feet, the arches of their feet and their ankles, what I try to tell people is your feet are like the tires of a Ferrari and the big muscles are like the engine. If you have this big old engine, but you got no tires, you're not going to go anywhere. So you have to have strength and power in your feet and ankles, because when you apply force, speed is force into the ground,
yes,
which is going to increase your velocity. So if you don't have the strength to apply all that force from your legs, you're not even maximizing the power that you have in your legs because your feet can't handle it. So you're either going to get injured because you're going to roll your ankle, or you're just going to miss out on speed. So we've been implementing more and more exercises, and this is actually part of something that I took from Les Spielman recently, of doing some barefoot exercises and training to help develop foot and ankle strength.
Interesting. Well, you think about it, I hear the ad for the Good Feet store and all these arch supports. There's a whole business out of giving you all this extra support for your shoes when you think back to where we were, let's say, you know, 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago, like people didn't have the kind of shoes that we have today. So there is something, I guess, scientific around spend a little bit more time strengthening those feet so you can operate barefooted. Otherwise, we're going to be supporting the Good Feet store and all that stuff as we get older, which a lot of old people do.
Right. So, yeah. And that's the same thing I tell athletes with that come in with ankle braces or knee braces. Are you currently injured? Do you need the extra support? Oh no, my injury was 6 months ago. My doctor just tells me to keep wearing it. Well, now you're going to become dependent on that brace. And the goal is that brace is there for a purpose for a particular period of time. But once that acute injury is done, we need to work to strengthen it back up so that you no longer need to be reliant on that brace, similar to kind of arch support. So I think it's a similar situation. Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about confidence, which can be really fragile. So I work with entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, and building a small business is really hard. Building a big business is really hard, but it can, it's easy to sort of become dispirited because of setbacks, and could be injury, it could be anything. And you know, as people begin to see progress, it gives us more hope and confidence and so on. And that can act as fuel. Tell me about that and walk me through what that might look like from your athletes.
Yeah. Confidence, the one thing that I absolutely love and get so excited about is confidence is the number one thing and the quickest thing that we receive and that we hear about from our athletes that come to dynamic training. Because a parent will come, and after two sessions with their athlete, which I think we all know that two of any type of workout, you're not going to actually see a significant amount of growth, right? But what happens is the energy, the love, and the confidence that we're instilling into these athletes is making them play faster in their sport because they're no longer second guessing themselves. They're no longer hesitating before movements. So much of speed is confidence. Because what happens is if you're hesitating, you're moving slower,
okay,
right? If you don't believe in your abilities, you're going to second guess yourself. You're going to move slower. So to just have somebody in your corner that's like, you can do this. You've got this. I know what you can do. You've got more. So for a young athlete to be like, hey, I don't need to second guess myself. I know Coach DT, Coach Connor, whatever coach it is, they believe, they told me I can do this. I know I can do it. So athletes that come to us and after two days of training, their parents are like, they're a new player on the field. Mm-hmm. They're so much faster. We can't after 2 days. And I'm like, and in my head, I know that we didn't necessarily make them faster yet. But what we did was we instilled the confidence and the belief in themselves so quickly and so intensely that they no longer second guess themselves. And now they're playing faster on the field.
That's great. And thinking about the long-term effects of confidence and sports, you know, I keep referencing this back to business because that's my world. But I mean, I grew up around sports and I appreciate the value of teamwork and sports and being a part of learning how to win, learning what working hard is all about. Those are the kind of attributes that we want for our family members. And as we develop our confidence as, you know, is it from a 9-year-old to a 12-year-old to a 14-year-old, all of a sudden I've been going to DT for a while and man, it's kicked in now that I'm now the fastest guy on my football team, right? Because I've been working at it for a time, and the kind of like reinforcement that has of like good values for winning in life and being happy in life.
Totally.
So you must have those kind of success stories where you've seen progression where that person became all league or something like that.
100%. And, you know, I think more than just the success on the field is being able to see the athletes that were shy and timid grow and become leaders within their team, right? Because some things are taught, some things are caught, right? So when you treat these athletes the way that we treat them, when we build that confidence in them, now they have more confidence to stand up and to be more proud. And right, so then now we get to see them treating their teammates and treating their, you know, coaches and their family members in their everyday life the way that we're treating them, right? And it's the same way, like, even though we coach speed and we train athletes, you know, from the business perspective, I treat my coaches the same way I treat my athletes, right? If I want my coach to do something different, I don't come at him and hammer him down into the ground. I tell him about make sure he knows how valued he is. I make sure they know how much we appreciate them, how great they are at what they do. And here's also another way that you can take it to the next level as a coach and be better. You know what I mean? So that's how we talk to our athletes, the same way I talk to my coaches. And that's the same way I hope that, you know, these kids can take it and then apply it to their job skills. You know what I mean? How you're talking about business. Cause the number one thing, there's so many great coaches and trainers in the world, but there's not good businessmen in the world. So a lot of people say, you hear people all the time, oh, I used to be a trainer. I had a season of life where I was a coach, but not a lot of people can make it sustainable because they don't have the business side of it, but it intertwines so much. And if we can just get people to understand and to realize that it's not just sports here and then now this is the world. If you can take the traits and the things that you've learned as an athlete, you know, it carries over so much.
Yeah. And one of those things, I have a kind of a mantra that I use. There's a lot of people that start things, but the world needs more finishers. And I think we learn that through finishing and playing 4 years of football or whatever it happens to be, to accomplish that or playing 4 years of football in college, another realm. Those are things that, you know, we never lose those, and they're so valuable. So, as two guys talking sports, and for anybody that this can happen in other aspects of life besides athletics, but a lot of people are drawn to athletics, and it can be really, it can be really gratifying and help you.
Yeah. So. In today's world where kids, you know, everybody wants instant gratification, instant likes, instant shares, instant follows, you know, if you're not involved in sports, it's hard to understand that you have to put in work if you want to see results. And so sports is just the easiest way to really show a young person that you want this result, you have to put in this work. Right. In the regular world nowadays, people don't think that, oh, I've been at a job for 90 days now, I should get a raise because I deserve a raise.
Yeah.
Right. Something as basic as that, when it's like, but what are you bringing to the table? How much work have you put in? What are you doing to make your business grow so that the person at the head, the owner, the manager wants to give you a raise? Right. That's the, like, little things like that that you learn as an athlete. Coach, I want more playing time. I've been here for a year sitting on the bench. Shouldn't I be playing now? Well, what are you doing to improve better, Timmy? What are you doing to improve? What are you doing that's going to set you apart from everyone else, that's going to give you deserving time?
Yeah. And I think encouraging people to stand out at some level too, because a lot of people want to run with the pack and to make it to college and play football in college. At some level, you stood out. In high school, you stood out so that you got recognized so that you could play in college. And I think sometimes, whether it be as in a job, employment, or even on the football field, we sort of, it sprints at the end of practice and we're going to run with the pack, right? We're going to blend. We're going to kind of do the same as everybody else. And those people that come in early, stay late, put everything they have into the sprints, even though they're hard, they get noticed, right? They stand out to a lot of us that are just like, you know, the coach is always looking type thing in business and sports.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that I've seen, now that I've been in the game for a little while, now I have friends and ex-teammates that are now recruiting coaches for colleges. Mm-hmm. So they come and they talk to me and we talk about athletes. And it's pretty fun. Now I have coaches that call me, hey, I'm looking for a class of 2021 offensive lineman. Oh. What do you got? So, you know, coaches coming to me and it's interesting for me to talk to them, and they'll come watch a game that they know you're not going to play in or that it's going to be a blowout, and they want to see how you are on the bench. Like that was the biggest surprise to me. Coaches will, if you're a big recruit and they're going to offer you a scholarship, they want to come watch you play because they want to see, are you a good teammate? Are you on the sideline clapping for your teammate as a basketball player when they get subbed out? Or are you just sitting in the corner now because you're not playing and it's all about you? Like, I've been it's opened my eyes a ton. And as I see things and as I learn what coaches are looking for, I try my best to just share that with all my athletes and just remind them of, and try to just set them up for success, you know?
Who's not a good fit for your program? Because we're talking about a mindset of, you got to have a certain amount of desire to go put yourself through those kind of workouts. So I imagine, for me, I'm like, if people don't have desire, maybe they're not a good fit. But I throw that more to you, is like, if I'm hiring an employee, if they don't have desire, probably not a good fit. But as a customer, who's a good fit and who's not?
So for our younger athletes, I don't think there's anyone that would ever need to be turned away, because as a young person, potential is endless. And like you said, so much of it is about confidence and instilling that, whether that goes into sports or it doesn't, just to be able to instill confidence into a young person is the number one thing that we want to do. And then everything else is an aftermath, right? The only time that I ever really have a conversation with an athlete about, hey, is this for you? Is when they're a high school athlete and I have to have that serious discussion with them of, do you want to play and just enjoy your high school years and have so much fun? Because if that's the case, I love it. I'm going to help you however you want to be helped. And I'm going to make sure that you get the most out of what you want. But if that's all you want, then beautiful. I'm not going to push you past your comfort zone. I'm going to allow you to stay in your comfort zone because you're here for a purpose to have fun and a purpose to enjoy yourself.
Right. Come in and say, hey, you're wasting your mom and dad's money.
Of course not. Yeah. But the athletes that tell me straight up, coach, I want to play in college. And then I look at them and I see their work ethic and I go, hey, you told me what you want. This is what the outcome you want. Right. What you're doing right now is not going to get you there. If you're cool playing in high school and just enjoying yourself, you're doing great. If you want to go to the next level, how are you going to stand out? Like you talked about, right? How are you going to be different? And I think that in today's world where kids and young people want things given to them so easily, it's the easiest time to stand out. Because before, everyone was a blue collar worker, right? Everybody had to work 7 days a week if you wanted to be successful. Nowadays, people want everything handed to them. So when an athlete or a young person is showing up early, staying late, putting the work, it's so much more noticeable now. Because the majority of people aren't doing it anymore. Interesting. So I try to really let them know that like there's the opportunity is there. You still have to put in the work and seize it, but less people want to put in the work. So when you put in the work, you're going to stand out.
Okay. So I have two questions that were given to you by my grandchildren.
Okay.
So
I love it.
Riley says she's the volleyball player. She plays softball too. She wants to jump higher. How do I jump higher?
Yeah, totally. So the number one thing I tell kids is first, we got to make sure you know how to jump.
Okay.
Right. You got to know how to jump properly because a lot of people have power. They don't know how to maximize it. So we need to learn how to have good jumping mechanics. So that's number one. Number two from there is you have to jump. And it sounds crazy to say that.
Jumping.
It's crazy to say that, but that's what you have to do. It's like I tell people when it comes to sprinting, people want to do all these cool drills and they're important. And there's importance to foot strength, ankle strength. But if you want to get faster at the end of the day, you have to make sure you're sprinting often. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not reaching that 90 to 100% threshold, you're not going to get faster. So with jumping, we can do all these different exercises. It's important to have strength, right? It's important to build power. It's important to know how to jump properly. But at the end of the day, you have to jump and you have to jump frequently.
So thinking about volleyball and maybe follow up onto her question. So jump a lot. Is volleyball, you're familiar with all these different sports. Is that more, you got to be more springy, like the bounce, the bounding? Like I'm picturing like box jumps, right? So you jump up on a box from a standing jump. Okay, that's one thing. But if you jump on and off the box at some level or jump rope or that type of thing, you're more like build it like sort of a, almost like a springiness.
100%.
Which is more important for volleyball?
I would say for one with volleyball, especially with younger athletes, is they need to actually learn their approach. Because volleyball is really big on like how they approach their jumps to the net.
Okay, a couple steps and a jump.
Exactly. So making sure that they feel comfortable and they're smooth in that. Because if you're not comfortable in that approach, you're not going to get anything out of your jump no matter what. So making sure that they're comfortable in their approach. But then secondly, it's going to be all about how light, how springy, and how explosive can we be. So that's a combination of power, right? Increasing. So there's some people have a lot of power, but have poor mechanics. Some people have great mechanics, but then they lack the power. You got to find a sweet spot of both. So I would say if you know how to jump and you jump a lot, let's add some resistance and some load to your training so that to increase strength.
Would that be a band or some weight?
Depending on how old the athlete is, I would adjust it accordingly.
Okay.
But definitely, I'm referring more about strength. So, so adding maybe
like
load.
Like for a 12-year-old potentially or a 13-year-old, should be 13, maybe a squat with like a children's bar, you know, the bar only or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, for example, I like to simulate the movements too. So like holding a dumbbell in each hand, right?
Okay.
And doing a squat jump with the dumbbells right outside their knees.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Like something super light dumbbell.
Exactly.
Or something,
something that's going to add and make it difficult for them to get off the ground. So when they let go of those dumbbells, they're now able to, they feel lighter. They feel like they're exploding higher, which is a form of like resistance training, how you would for sprinting, but now it's for jumping.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So Rocco's question is,
let's hear this one.
Oh, what's your favorite workout?
Oh my gosh.
What's DT like?
Oh my goodness. My favorite workout. My specialty back in the day was my quickness, my ability to change direction very quickly. So I love drills that are, I wouldn't say footwork based, but a lot of lateral movement.
Okay.
Because I think that in sports, 99% of sports, unless you run track, most sports, your quickness is more important than your top end speed. Not that top end speed is not important, but in sports, like 5% or less, are you ever going to have an opportunity to open up and run. In basketball, how often is an athlete not having to move anywhere and just running straight at full speed? Not that often. In football, unless a gaping hole opens for that running back and he has an 80-yard run, most of the time they're running, they're cutting, they're jumping, they're twisting, and they're having to change direction. For volleyball, they move in a small 5x5 foot square where they're forward, back, side, side. So for me, I absolutely love quick change of direction drills because they're the most game applicable.
Interesting. So yeah, when I was in high school and youth football, and the way I coach, we had something, like some people call them jingle jangles or suicides, where you go like say 10 yards and 10 yard back and forth, and then you maybe do a sprint out of it or something. Like we did that at basketball too. And but they're short distance in terms of change of direction. You're not going 40 yards, change your direction. You're going 5 yards, 10 yards, change your direction real quick, back and forth.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And honestly, the best drills that you can do, especially for youth athletes, are games. And people get so serious about training, they forget, like playing sharks and minnows.
Oh.
Those kids will pull out speed you've never seen to avoid getting tagged by a shark.
Oh, okay.
And you know, so their ability to run and someone's coming, oh, they have to step back and now they're going to give you a little shake to try to avoid you. Those are the most applicable things to actual sports. That's why back in the day, you know, the best athletes, what training programs did Barry Sanders have? He was out on the street playing touch football with his friends, learning how to juke out half the neighborhood. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes we get so structured with workouts that we forget that having fun and just doing things at full speed and being elusive is so important.
So I'm thinking about like the impact that you're making on your offices in Roseville.
We're in Rockland.
It's Rockland. Yeah. Okay, it's out off industrial somewhere.
Yeah, yep, okay. Off Sunset.
I think I've dropped off or picked up the grandkids there a time or two. And so I have an awareness of where it's at. But you think about it. So most of your clientele is probably greater Placer County area.
For the most part. Yes. For the most part.
You think about like the impact that you're having on Roseville High School, Oakmont High School, Del Oro, Granite Bay, you know, Lincoln, and the long-term impact that you're having, not only on their athletic programs, but on the kind of student athlete that is coming out of your program or that you're complimenting for those organizations. You ever think about the amount of impact that you're having?
Yes and no. Okay. I think, you know, I sometimes I think we forget because we get it stuck in the daily routine of like, it's a fact, like we've almost become like a factory where, you know, athletes come in. Like I think over the summer, we had a day where we had 120 athletes in the door in one day, which is a huge number for us. And so sometimes on the day to day, you forget about that. But then I get to step back and, you know, someone like yourself will bring it up to me and it's like, wow, you know, we really get to touch 120 people. Not a lot of people get the opportunity to interact and to work with that many people on a daily basis. So it's really something special.
Yeah, that we talked about confidence alone, besides athleticism, right? That confidence level of, you know, 100 kids a day, you know, and over years and years and years of doing it, there really is a compounding effect to that for our Sacramento, because they're not all going to live in Lincoln and Roseville and Rockland. I mean, they're going to move all over Sacramento, all over the country. But like the compounding effect of what you're doing is enormous. I mean, that's why I love sports, is just, you know, a high school football coach or high school any coach that's doing it right with the positivity, like what you're talking about, making such an impact. I mean, I don't know that we give those people enough credit. So I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate
for doing that.
That.
It's
thank
like
you.
Really helpful to growing good people, good citizens.
Yeah, and I think that if you ask anyone that played sports, even if they only played at the youth level, not even in high school, if you ask them, like, who was someone that impacted you the most in your life, it was always a coach of some level. Like my favorite coaches were when I was in like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Mm. And, you know, I think that as coaches, sometimes we forget that like you're making a lasting impression. You know, I invited to my wedding coaches that I had in my 7th grade junior Pop Warner football team came to my wedding.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of impact that they have. And so it really is awesome and something special to be able to be a part of it. And I've seen it growing up because my dad actually was the co-founder of the Lord's Gym in Roseville off Atlantic Street.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, we used to go out
to
eat.
And your mom's, Cheryl.
Yes.
You were telling me earlier, I went to high school with her. It's crazy.
So I remember, you know, being a young kid and we'd be eating somewhere and randomly someone would go, is that Bill Thomas, which is my dad's name? And they would just hear his voice from across the restaurant and come over. You coached me 30 years ago. And my dad, and they'd have this huge conversation, and the young person would be, I'm married now, and the things I teach my son, you taught me back when I was, you know, 13 years old, this, that, and the other. And I'd be like, Dad, do you even remember that person? My dad would be like, no, not really, but yeah. That's okay. Yeah. And to think, like, as coaches and people of influence in these young people's lives, it's like, dude, you have no idea what that trickle-down effect is really going to have. So it's really important.
All right, so last question, maybe a long-term vision for the organization, and maybe I'll make it a two-part question. And then after long-term vision, and what advice would you have to maybe a parent who is listening to this and their kids are in sports and thinking about how accelerating, you know, giving them a little extra boost, is which is a lot of what you do. What might they want to do to give them that, to maybe come visit you, or maybe there's something else that you might advise them?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, whatever your kid is going to do consistently is the best program for them. That's what I tell people the most. I hate when people just drop in every 4 months and do a workout with us, because they're not going to actually see the results that I want them to see. And so the best thing I would tell a parent is, it doesn't even matter. It does matter what program it is, but what's more important than the program is that it's something that they enjoy and that they're going to do consistently. Because parents, you can tell real quick which kids are coming because their parent forced them to show up versus the kids that are hungry and that enjoy it. And so find the program that your kid is going to have a smile and enjoy doing. You're going to get more out of them.
All right. And long-term vision of the organization?
Oh, man, that's such a tough question. I go back and forth all the time, but at the end of the day, the goal is to reach as many people as possible. So whether that looks like multiple locations or just one mega large location, we've already reached way more people than I ever thought we would. You know, this was always a side hustle for me as I was starting my work career. And so the fact that it's become what it is, and that, you know, people... I see people walking around wearing the Dynamic Training shirts awesome. And the logo, and it really touches my heart. So, you know, the goal is, how can we impact the next generation as much as possible? And so I don't know where that journey is going to go, but I'm excited.
Daniel Thomas, owner of Dynamic Training. Appreciate what you do. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you, we're never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.